This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the film Bila Kami Bersatu, or When We Are One, which debuted at the 2019 Freedom Film Fest, we got a rare insight into the lives of working class women in Malaysia. So the film followed a group of hospital cleaners who unionized to demand fair wages. Much has transpired since the premiere of that film, and I'm going to catch up now with the co-director of the film, Ming Si Chua, and also with Esrita, one of the workers featured in the film. And also joining us is Saraswati Mutu, who's an activist and the executive secretary of the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services. So we're going to find out what exactly has happened since, because Rita, along with five other cleaners, they sadly lost their jobs at the start of the year. So we want to find out what happened. So welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, gosh. Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me. So let's start with you, Ming Si. You know, you are the operations coordinator of New Narrative. You're also a writer, editor, translator, researcher. I remember we spoke about all of that.
Yes.
And you also co-directed When We Are One. I mean, if you could just remind our listeners what the film was about and why and how you found out about that story.
Sure. So this film follows the lives of three hospital cleaners, Tilama, Rosia, and Rita, who's in the studio today, and basically looks at their experiences being hospital cleaners while also being part of this national union. Mm-hmm. And it also looks at how the union at the time was working to reach a collective agreement with the subcontractors that they were working under. And it's kind of a combination of a slice of life in terms of trying to see how these workers live in their day-to-day lives, mm-hmm. but also trying to look at kind of deeper political issues that are going on that frame these lives. Mm-hmm. I actually found out about this story through my work at New Narrative. So New Narrative is a media and advocacy organization, and we try to publish stories that are, you know, relevant to the lives of Southeast Asians and Malaysians, but also kind of cover stories that are not as commonly represented in the media. So one of our editors at the time actually flagged this story. There has been some media coverage of it in the past. I think in December 2018, there was a Star article about it, which was flagged by my editor. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got interested because it seemed like such a huge story, yet there was so little media about it. That's and right. I kind of wanted to find out more. And I met with Saras in about March of 2019. And from that meeting onwards, I definitely knew that there was more to mm-hmm. to talk about, because it was just, you know, it's a story that's been going on not just for the past year, but for years, even decades, one might say, because yeah. the union was originally founded in the 90s. And it's a story that's so relevant to the lives of, you know, the everyday Malaysian, because it really is a story about working conditions, about, you know, being able to create a good life for yourself, but not necessarily being able to do that under the current economic situation. So mm-hmm. That's when I wanted to kind of make this documentary. Mm-hmm. And especially after meeting the actual, you know, subjects of the documentary, including Rita, I was really stunned and amazed by how able they were to speak about their own experiences. And I thought the documentary would be the best way for them to express that, because mm-hmm. it's a direct kind of conversation with the audience. Mm-hmm. And I hope that there can be more conversations like what we're having now in the studio mm-hmm. Moving forward, where these women are able to speak directly to people and for themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so rare to hear from them, you know, because I guess, like you said, there's hardly any platform for them. There's no media attention surrounding this issue. So, I mean, let's change that. But first, maybe I can talk to you, Saras. You are the executive secretary of the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services. That's quite a mouthful there. And you're also an activist, and you're also from Parti Socialist Malaysia. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do, especially through this union.
I was interested because one day in 2016, December, I received a call from Tanjung Rambutan Hospital. Everybody know what is Tanjung Rambutan, it's a mental hospital. And then they told me, can you come? Can you come? Because a new company is taking over, subcontractor. So they're deducting their pay and their benefits they're deducting. So immediately I went. Mm-hmm. They arranged a meeting, about 200 workers came. And they told this unfair. The former subcontractor, he was paying 950 wage. But suddenly this new contractor has come. he wanted to deduct 50 ringgit. So that means from 950, they're going to get only 900. We cannot agree.
These are for the hospital cleaners. Am I correct?
These are hospital cleaners. So that from that day, the workers, we went to Putrajaya, we had a demonstration. We said, what are the benefits were given before? It should be carried on, not you deduct. So the ministry also gave, after a protest, one busload of people went, and then the ministry say cannot, you cannot deduct, you must follow whatever benefit they get. Okay, that's it. From that day onward, they wanted to form a union. And then we went to the registrar of union, and they say, oh, you're cleaners. Okay, wait, there's a national union. It was formed in 1997. So 97 and 2016, it was dormant for 20 years.
Right.
Then they say, the Pengarah say, let me check Putrajaya whether this union is active or not. So after 2 days, she called me, the Pengarah called me, say, oh, okay, there's a union. What are the procedure to take over? She told us what are the procedure. And then we followed, and then we took over the union. In 2016, February on the 28th, we had an AGM and we took over. Since then, we recruited, because this is a national union for the cleaners. There are 149 hospitals in the country. So this whole union is representing all the workers in the union, in the cleaner sector.
Okay.
And then we did the membership drive. After 1 year, we applied for recognition. Because in our country, there's no automatic recognition. Even though there's a union, but you have to apply to the management to ask them for recognition. So then they turn us down, and then we complain to Industrial Relations Department. So subsequently, in 2018, 2017, we had a secret ballot. I mean, election by secret ballot, and then we won.
Okay.
After that, we went for CA. This is the story.
Okay. So this is the story of how... So essentially, what were you fighting for? I mean, I think the issue here is that contract workers, right? Yeah. Contract workers, when they were... hospital cleaners were being given contracts, but not full-time employment, right? So, I mean, could you explain what it means to be a contract worker? Like, who is your employer? Is it the hospital? Yeah. Who is it, you know?
Okay. The contract system... It's a global phenomenon. It's a globalization, privatization. So this comes under that. Internationally, workers are suffering. Even doctors now go under contract. So this contract system is really a slavery system whereby especially the cleaning section in the government hospitals become privatized in 1996 by our Tun Dr. Mahathir. That means... They have a given contract to big concessioners. Like Perak, Penang, Kedah, Perlis was given to Ajanta MediServe for 10 years. And then southern region, the central region, Selangor, Pahang, Terengganu, Kelantan, given to Redicare. And then southern region, Malacca, Negeri Sembilan, Johor Bahru was given to MediWest, Sabah, Sedafiat, Sendirian Berhad, Sarawak, One Medibank. So there are 5 concessioners have taken contract from the government for 10 years. Right. And what they'll do is they contract out to subcontractor, you know. So subcontractor, they change. Every 2 years or 3 years, these contractors change. That means the workers become new worker to a new contract.
That's right.
So they've been working there for 27 years. 25 years, 15 years, 10 years. But then once the new company, you know, every 2 years or 3 years, new company comes, take over. So they lose all the benefit. They become new worker.
I see. There's new no such worker. Thing as tenure then. It's not acknowledged.
So they mean they lose all their benefit. So they become new worker. I mean, labor law says if you work for a year, you get 8 days annual leave. If you work for 2 years, you get 12 days. If you work below 5 years, you get about 14 days annual leave. So it goes by the year of service. But then here you work only for 2 years or 3 years, then the new contractor comes in, you lose all the benefits and you become a new worker. No security. Anytime they can lose the job. It's very, when they were in government, they call IMRs. When they were in government, they got every year they have increment, annual increment of salary. They get bonus. They can get loan from for their house under government scheme. All those they have lost. So they here they lose their seniority and the benefit. So this is like what you call a slavery system, the contract system. And this work in the hospital is a permanent job. Contract system is for the temporary job. Like you're painting a painting a building or you're constructing a building. That is, it's a temporary job. So here these hospitals are there forever. And these workers work in the same hospital, same job. And they work for 20 years, 15 years. So they were given by this contract system, they become new workers. That means it's a cheating. Mm-hmm. I will say, government know this. Mm-hmm. These people are permanent workers. And why they allow this contract system to victimize, to oppress these workers.
Okay. So what happens is then, regardless of, let's say, somebody who joins today or somebody who's been working for 25 years, they basically receive the same wage, they receive the same sort of benefits, if you can call it that, if they receive any benefits at all. Okay. Rita, maybe we can talk to you now. I mean, help me understand what your situation was like. What sort of conditions did you work under as a contract worker, as you were a cleaner in a hospital, right? So maybe you can just sort of explain to us what your day-to-day life was like and also what sort of conditions you worked under.
Saya Rita. So saya bekerja di Hospital Batu Gajah selama 7 tahun sebagai seorang cleaner. Di situation kerja hospital ni selama 7 tahun memang di bawah kontrak dan kerja di hospital mengambil peranan yang sangat sukar sebab kita disorot oleh pelbagai penyakit, kuman dan sebagai tekanan di hospital daripada majikan iaitu supervisor, agenta, supervisor daripada NS Medik sebelum ni. Dengan ini, majikan di hospital, bahagian hospital seperti staff nurse, pengarah, ketua unit, semua. Kita dibagi arahan daripada pelbagai pihak. Bukan seorang majikan saja untuk kita. Kita ada 6-7 majikan untuk membuat kerja. Uh-huh. So, setiap hari kita dalam tekanan kerja yang sangat teruk. Tetapi kita masih meneruskan kerja kita untuk menyara kehidupan seharian.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to work long hours? What was your salary like? Did you receive annual leave? Sort of things that workers like us take for granted.
Bagi macam saya bekerja shift. Mm-hmm. Dalam 2 shift, iaitu masuk pukul 3, balik pukul 11 malam. Kalau masuk malam pukul 11, balik pukul 7. Gaji yang dibayar adalah mengikut kenaikan kerajaan sahaja. Kerajaan naikkan gaji, baru kita ada kenaikan gaji. Kita tak ada apa-apa istimewan oleh majikan. Okay. Iaitu daripada agenta, Medisave. So, kita disebabkan kontrak, kita tak ada apa-apa keistimewaan. Dengan gaji yang sedia ada, kita menyara kehidupan harian. Kerja mengikut waktu yang ditetapkan oleh supervisor.
Mingxi, I remember you and I were talking about this the last time. These sorts of jobs, cleaner jobs, for example, right? They're not exactly much sought after, correct? The ladies like Rita that you spoke to, they are doing these jobs out of necessity more so than, out of really wanting to do these sorts of jobs. And, therefore they are dependent on these sorts of these terms of employment as well.
Yeah, I think maybe Rita can describe this herself, but one of the things that we try to portray in the film is kind of the fact that, she has been working at this job to support her family as a single mother. She has four kids, two of whom are in the film. I think... the impression that I got from her when we were speaking during the interviews of the film was that, regardless of kind of the conditions, the job had to continue to be done to support her family. And that's why, you know, following this, I would say, wrongful termination of her contract in, you know, January 2020, actually, she and the other workers are looking to be reinstated and to regain their jobs. So it's not even an issue of, you know, kind of wanting to quit and just move somewhere else. It's about, you know, the fact that this job is a lifeline for people. And that's what makes it tragic, is that, you know, your lifeline can be so detrimental to your life as well, in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think.
Yeah. So I guess, Rita, let's talk about 2016, when you got together because you wanted to be part of the union, right? I mean, I think, am I correct in saying that what was of most concern to you was the wage that you were earning, right? Because it was not increasing, you were not getting any perks as such, right? And it was hard to get by, am I correct?
Yeah. Dengan pendapatan gaji minimum daripada saya masuk kerja, RM900. Lepas tu, setiap kali kenaikan, sampai sekarang saya dah kerja 7 tahun, gaji saya RM1,100 sahaja. Tetapi dengan duit tu saya menyara keluarga. So saya single mother sejak 4 tahun. 4 orang anak saya masih belajar. Situasi ni memang susah untuk dihadapi. Tetapi untuk meneruskan kehidupan, terpaksa lalui ini semua. Dan buat masa sekarang tak ada kerja, tetapi perjuangan masih diteruskan.
Okay. So before you lost your job, which happened in January this year, you did join the union that that, you know, we were talking about with Sarah's earlier. What made you want to join that union?
Tujuan saya menyertai union ni, saya mula menyertai union daripada 2016. Mula-mula union diaktifkan semula. Tujuan saya menyertai union untuk mendapatkan hak pekerja. Hak pekerja macam saya, hak-hak kita. Lagipun tujuan utama kita untuk menghapuskan sistem kontrak. Sistem kontrak ini mematikan kita daripada segala istimewaan sebelum ini. Sistem kontrak ini menyebabkan kita tidak boleh bergerak untuk memaju langsung. Semua dihentam oleh majikan. Segala kenaikan gaji, benefit-benefit sepatutnya yang kena beri kepada kita memang tidak diberi. Disebabkan sistem kontrak, kita menjadi pekerja baru selepas 2 hingga 3 tahun. Semua faedah seperti cuti tahunan, benefit, klinik benefit, lagi macam pendapatan kita ni, dan tidak mampu juga untuk membeli rumah pun sebab tidak layak. Kita punya pendapatan payslip ni tidak layak. So ini membuatkan kita sangat sukar untuk bergerak. Tapi dengan kekuatan kesatuan, kita bersuara untuk meminta hak kita. Itu yang kita berani menyertai kesatuan. Sebab kesatuan membantu dalam segala kesusahan semua pekerja-pekerja pembersihan hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the union, it managed to negotiate a new collective agreement, right? Last year for the contract cleaners. Sarahs, maybe you can tell me about that, how you reached that new contract.
I think a lot of struggle behind this, how we derived to the collective agreement, that maybe I'll tell later. So in 2017, November, we got recognized. Union got recognized after the secret ballot. Mm-hmm. Then immediately in January, we sent 42 demands in a collective agreement. Mm-hmm. And we were managed to negotiate with the management almost 4 times. And then we come to a conclusion and we signed the CA with 37 articles the management agreed. And then the management agreed and we signed on the 23rd October 2019.
Okay.
And then we sent it for endorsement to IR court in KL. And we got the recognition, cognizance number.
Okay.
Okay. So, but before we come to that, Okay, we got it into 23rd October 2019. But then after signing, we also heard a lot of rumors of the new management. They're taking over in January 2020. They started coming in.
Right.
This union, at the moment, we did the CA for the northern region.
Mm.
Okay, Perak, Penang, Kedah and Perlis. So 33 hospital. So the management, a newer company, came in. They took over the cleaners, you know, cleaning sector.
Mm.
And then they started visiting all the hospitals. And their main motive to kill the union. They say, once the new company come in, no union. And you cannot join union. If anybody join the union, will be punished. You won't be taken back to the work. So this is happened in all the hospitals, 31 hospitals they went. And they were telling no union. Once we come in, there's automatically the union will be dissolved. But this is a national union.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So you may not recognize it, but then there's already a CA.
That's
a lot of cases where if a company, because Article 37 in the CA very clearly says, if a company change the name or the another company take over the business, they have to follow this CA.
Right.
It's very clear, Article 37 of our collective agreement. Which we signed in on the 23rd October 2019. But the new company completely denied. So after so much of union busting, we have made report, more than 20 reports to IR department, because under Section 4.5, if a management stop the worker from joining union or involved in the union activity, it is wrong under IR Act. They can be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Even South Korea, Samsung, the deputy president was jailed for 1.5 years last year, you know, because union busting.
That's right.
So there are laws. But we had seven meetings from October to until December end. We had meetings, we had protests at Human Resource Ministry, at Health Ministry, because Health Ministry is the one giving contract to these worker contractors, the concession. So then after the report and then the protest, so the ministry called us 7 times. We had on a negotiation table, but then Agenda UMS don't want to listen. They say no. They become new workers, but we will take their experience.
Okay.
You know. So other than that, they are not. So then they keep on. In January, they took over. But the union busting is rampant. You cannot say how much their supervisors and the management, they go around, continuously going around, and they're saying no to union. Mm-hmm. So the union busting is continuing in the workplaces. So union is putting up a fight. So we have filed a CA, collective agreement.
Mm-hmm.
We have filed under Section 17, you know, that under IR Act. So there was a conciliation on the 13th of February. So management say we are not the party to the collective agreement. Now it is referred to the court, IR court. And then the same, like, 6 workers, they were given, like Rita and the others, 4 workers from Batu Gajah, 2 workers from Paribuntar Hospital. So in December 19, after much protest and negotiation, they gave offer letter. Before that, they want all the workers to, permohonan kerja. They came up with the form saying that you are asking for a job, permohonan kerja form. That means you have to sign and you become completely a new worker. For that, we protested.
Right.
We say, no, they're working for more than 20 years, 25 years. Then they subsequently they came out with the permohonan kerja. They said no, okay. They canceled the permohonan kerja. Then they gave surat tawaran. That means offer letter, all the benefit, like 15 days public holidays. You know, brought down to 11 days,
mm-hmm.
and their medical benefit and other benefits. Everything they've sliced down. So was the workers, if what they say, the offer letter you have to receive and you sign.
That's
so
right.
they on the receiving column, they say they write with protest, bantahan. Saya terima dengan bantahan. They mean they receive the offer, mm-hmm. but they say
they're still protesting.
So there's a right in labor law. You can write. You can write like that. You can protest. You can write protest. It's nothing harm. Mm-hmm. But the management doesn't want. Then we had a discussion in Putrajaya, the management and the ministry, and then they agreed. The management agreed, okay, ask the workers to go back and get the new offer letter. Mm-hmm. So these workers bent over and over to the management, to the hospital. The supervisor don't want to give them any offer letter. That's, they dismissed because they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Because they were... protest. So these can see very blatantly, you can see this is a union busting and they are union leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is what the union has made several reports to IR, where IR department will bring this matter to IR court.
Okay.
So then we have to fight for these workers.
Mm-hmm.
In our country, less than 6% of workforce are unionized. There are 14 million workforce in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this union is to negotiate. Unions are a body, it's a mediation, it's a middle organization, a worker representation, a representative organization. They mm-hmm. will be part and, you know, they will be negotiating with the management and the worker.
Okay.
But our country, the management, they are very, very, I would say they are very threatened by the union. I don't know why. They are the mediator. So the government should intervene without government's intervention. Because this is very clearly the cleaner section of under in hospitals. They are under health ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very surprised the enforcement is not doing anything.
Right.
There are a lot of laws, so they can come out with the, you know, enforcement laws, you know, to tell the management, you cannot do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rita, you weren't given a contract, or your contract was not renewed as of January 2020, right? So that means, and you weren't given any reasons as to why it was basically, this is a new contract, you're not getting one of it. That's essentially what happened.
No, she write the...
Because she wrote that you accept these conditions under protest.
Under protest.
Okay, so I mean, you know, we spoke about it. You're a single mom. You have four young children. You already mentioned how difficult it was even to get by with, you know, the minimum wage that you were receiving then. How are you getting by now?
Buat masa ni, memang tak ada kerja. Tetapi saya ada menjual secara sedikit baju, peralatan rumah, household item semua ada buat secara kecil-kecilan,
okay,
in online.
Mm-hmm.
Tetapi as usually online ni bukan selalu ada bisnes.
Yeah.
Tetapi untuk menyara keluarga, saya terpaksa buat masa ni saya dapat buat tu sahaja.
Mm-hmm.
Sebab anak saya, keempat-empat orang pun belajar. Macam mengikutkan kawan saya yang lain-lain yang telah hilang kerja pun, diorang ada buat kerja sementara je lah, macam dekat kedai semua. So, itu ajalah pendapatan buat masa ni.
Okay. And you have taken this to court, of course.
Yeah.
And you are going to continue fighting this in court. Am I correct?
Yeah. Kita memang, mula-mula kita ada buat aduan di JPP, Jabatan Perusahaan.
Mm-hmm.
Mereka memanggil majikan untuk berbincang. Selepas memanggil majikan, iaitu UEMS, majikan datang berbincang dan mereka tidak mahu mengambil kita kerja. Mm-hmm. So, diorang tidak mahu terima kita semula untuk kerja. So, selepas perbincangan, kes ni dibawa kepada Labour Court lah.
Okay, so it's currently...
Still dalam proses lah. Mungkin mengambil masa dalam 6 hingga 1 tahun.
6 bulan, 6 months to 1 year. Okay. And that's a long time for a mother of four young children. Is there anything that we can do in this sense? Is there anything that, you know, anyone who's listening can help, you know, to put some pressure on some people perhaps, you know, to expedite this case?
Di sini saya meminta bantuan lah, bukan untuk diri saya sahaja. Lagi 5 orang kawan bersama saya memang tak ada kerja. Dan 3 orang wanita adalah ibu tunggal. Mm-hmm. Dan bakinya memang semua tak ada kerja. Sesiapa yang sudi membantu, bolehlah membantu kita untuk menyara kehidupan kita lah, okay, selama kita tak ada kerja.
And Mingxi, I know that you know, you are going to, you're organizing some film screenings. You know, you're trying to get is, you know, yes, for people who can't quite make it to the film screenings, for example. You know, is there any way that we can watch that documentary and, you know, to find out exactly, you know, what the struggle is about, and, you know, how we can, you know, find out more, arm ourselves with more knowledge.
Yes, we are going to be putting the documentary online soon, and we'll be also having a Bila Kami Bersatu, a When We Are One, Facebook page and Twitter that you can follow for more updates, and basically continue the campaign beyond, you know, beyond any particular screening, because we do feel that this film can kind of be a platform or a jumping off point to continue this larger political campaign.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Rita and for Sarah, like, how are you going to keep, I guess, keep the conversation going about this issue? You know, I mean, people don't, I guess, you know, it's a sad reality. People don't really think about what's happening to hospital cleaners in up in the north, you know. It's we all, yeah. So how are you going to take this case forward, and how are you going to keep fighting this? Maybe we start with Rita first. How are you going to keep going with this case?
Kes ni memang diteruskan, mm-hmm, diteruskan sebab kerana tujuannya kita nak hak kita sebagai pekerja. Sebab kita tidak diberi apa-apa surat untuk diberhentikan, mm-hmm, dan juga tidak bagi surat tawaran. So kita nak dapat satu jawapan kerana membuang kita tanpa sebab. So kita akan berlawan sampai habis-habisan untuk mendapat satu keputusan yang baiklah.
Okay, and Saras, I mean, I think this is something that that you've fought for a very long time. Yeah. you've been doing this for a very long time. Are you hopeful that, you know, we're going to see some change?
Well, we 3 bus load of workers went on the 2nd December 2019, mm-hmm, and we have given them a memorandum specifically on union busting. Mm-hmm. But till today, nothing has happened, you know. The enforcement is, we cannot see any enforcement, mm-hmm, coming into place. Mm-hmm. The union busting is continuing. So as your question, I think we will, as a national union, we have to cover all the hospitals in the country. And we have started a campaign, as Party Socialist Malaysia have started a campaign on contract system, mm-hmm, abolish the contract system.
Okay.
I think this is the major issue in the country, mm-hmm, affecting the working class and the union. Because we're also campaigning for automatic recognition. Mm-hmm. There can be a union. I mean, we can register a union. But the management don't, you know, recognize the union. Then we have to go through the process of secret balloting. Mm-hmm. And workers are very scared.
Of course.
Because the wage is so low, and 1,000 now, 1,002. But then if they lose that job, then that's it. You know, that is a fear in every worker. But then we have to give them the confidence. So the campaign will give the confidence to the workers, even the workers in the schools, school cleaners, you know, and all the government hospitals. Because all the government hospitals, the cleaners have become the contract workers. Mm-hmm. So not only in the cleaning, in the health industry, it's also all the industry, okay, in the government sector. So we have started a campaign to abolish. Then it's a long process. But then for this, we are doing another campaign on reinstatement. I mean, legal will take its part.
Course, yeah.
And we also will, apply pressure. We want to go to PM office. Because this is the issue where union busting must stop. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. The law takes its slower path. But then the enforcement should enforcement should move fast. Otherwise, they will kill the union. And this is a national union. Mm-hmm. And it was dormant for 20 years.
This is a lot, right?
Yeah. And then now only in 2016 it has picked up. We have started. And then being a GLC company, UEMS, Ajanta UEMS, Ajanta MediServe, they must They must recognize the recognized union, already recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do the union busting. They must stop union busting. Public, as you asked, you know, how public can help. I think they must put pressure on the health ministry, human resource ministry, to stop union busting, which is blatant. In this cleaning sector, the 80% of workers are women. And like Rita and our secretary, Tilama, they're women. They are putting up a brave fight to make sure the union is safe. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess the last thing to add is on the Bila Kami Bersatu social media, we'll also be posting up a bank account that people can donate to if they want to directly support Rita and the other people who have been affected by this.
Okay.
And the money will be equally distributed to all of them to support them while they're waiting for their SOCSO insurance to kick in. I think, yeah. And also to help them compensate for the loss in wages that has happened due to this wrongful termination.
Rita, any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Tadi saya sudah tertinggal satu. Saya juga ada, kita 6 orang yang tak ada kerja ni, ditolong oleh semua ahli kesatuan. Ada orang ada buat satu collection, pekerja-pekerja hospital, membantu kita lah.
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining me today
Thank
and for
you.
Sharing your story.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Ming Si Chua. She's the operations coordinator at New Narrative. She's also the co-director of When We Are One, which was a film that debuted at the Freedom Film Festival, where we got a rare insight into the lives of working class women in Malaysia. And Rita was actually a hospital cleaner, and she's also the worksite chairperson of the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services. And Rita was one of the people featured in your film. And we also spoke to Saraswati Mutu, who she is the executive secretary, and she's an activist with the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services. She's also a member of Parti Socialist Malaysia. So we'll look out for the When We Are One social media pages for updates, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.